W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. 2024 GOP candidates focus on Iowa. Former President Trump is among those attending the Lincoln Day dinner in Des Moines.
Meet crooked Joe Biden, the most corrupt president in history.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe is at the dinner.
Now in third place, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott also avoids attacking Trump.
What we all should be very concerned about is the weaponization of the Department of Justice. We should be very careful on how we use immense power against political opponents.
Iowa Republicans hold the 2024 caucuses on January 15th. The dinner tonight comes a day after the special counsel's office files three new felony charges against former President Trump, including obstruction in the classified documents case. CBS's Robert Costa has more.
Trump allies tell CBS News tonight that the uncertainty on the legal horizon worries them, not just with the special counsel, but in Georgia. There, a grand jury could soon issue charges over Trump's conduct in the aftermath of the 2020 election, possibly days before next month's first Republican primary debate.
Nearly 180 million Americans are under heat alerts from the Great Plains to the Northeast. CBS's Roxana Saberi reports from New York City, where the heat index neared the triple digits today.
People aren't just heading to pools. They're also going to the oceans, but the heat is there, too. A government agency says heat waves are now affecting 44% of the world's oceans, the highest figure since 1991.
The backup driver in the first death involving a fully autonomous vehicle has pleaded guilty to endangerment. CBS's Christopher Cruz says the woman had initially been charged with negligent homicide.
Police say Rafaela Vasquez was streaming a TV show on her phone in the moments before Uber's Volvo SUV hit and killed 49-year-old Elaine Hertzberg. It happened as Hertzberg crossed a darkened street with her bicycle in suburban Phoenix in March 2018 outside of a sidewalk. Today, as part of a plea agreement, a county judge sentenced Vasquez to 3 years of supervised probation.
The Mega Millions jackpot is now $940 million after months without a big winner. But before you start spending money in your dreams, KCAL-TV's Jasmine Veal with a reminder.
The odds of winning this mega jackpot are about 1 in 300 million. UCLA professor of psychiatry, Dr. Timothy Fong, says people put that aside as they crave the feelings that playing brings.
This is absolutely designed to stimulate what we call dopamine and adrenaline at a very, very, very low cost. For $2, you can generate hope, wonderment, amazement, dream.
This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your engine with Syntec Full Synthetic Motor Oil at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Syntec is designed for today's engines to dissipate heat and reduce friction and wear. Get 5 quarts of Syntec Full Synthetic in a MicroGuard Select Oil Filter for just $33.99, plus 2x O'Rewards points. Limits apply. Choose Syntec exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
MVP's bonus days are back at Lowe's. Find special savings on top brands like DeWalt. Right now, save $60 when you buy a DeWalt impact driver or drill for just $99 each. Plus, MVP's Pro Rewards members will earn 3x the bonus points when shopping the Pro Zone. Shop in-store and online today. Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. DeWalt offer valid 7/17 through 8/2. Bonus points calculated before taxes and fees after applicable discounts, if any. Valid through 7/28. Subject to change.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. SmileTrain is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Join us daily at therickssmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So yesterday, you may remember me talking about the truckers down on the border blocking the southern border on the Mexico side. Because, look, you know, Greg Abbott decided, hey, it's a good idea. We're going to stop every single truck and we're going to inspect every single truck and we're going to let all the produce go rotten. We're going to stop these trucks from making their deliveries on time. We're going to harass and intimidate and we're going to do all of this stuff because, well, because we can. And I said yesterday, before this really hit big news, that this was an opportunity for Abbott to make things worse for Biden, because what this is really going to do is cause more inflation. So when you're going to buy strawberries or whatever produce you buy, the costs are going to skyrocket because there's going to be less produce at your supermarket because they're boogering up the whole thing. Now, I've said from the beginning, I'm against the way we do cross-border trucking. I've been against it for a very long time. I like the way it was done back, you know, well before NAFTA, but we are where we are. This is politically motivated. This is because he can. And here to share some thoughts on what's going on our southern border, and maybe tell us what's going on and what we should be doing, I've asked Rick Levy to come talk with us. Rick is the president of the Texas AFL-CIO. He is down in Texas now. Rick, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick. I mean, damn, you paint a really pretty picture of what's going on down here. So, talking about it, it's just like each day you wonder how can it get worse, how can it get weirder. We have a state that we're in the energy capital of the world allegedly, and we can't keep the lights on. We defund our public schools, we create all these kind of side issues around trans kids, and some of the meanest orders that I've ever seen from a governor. Going after doctors and parents for trying to take care of their kids. And now, in the midst of all of this, he decides, and I just want to say, they're not inspecting the trucks for smugglers or contraband. They don't have the legal authority to do that. What they're doing is inspecting the trucks for mechanical issues and inspection stickers and things like that, and stopping everyone. And I think that just really highlights the hypocrisy of what's going on here. You said it. It's trying to create more of a crisis. It's trying to compete with Florida about who can be the Trumpiest non-Trump. And that's what's driving public policy in Texas. And it's a damn shame.
No, and this is one of those things where I think people have to be aware. You know, we're in a moment where everybody's hyper aware of inflation. We're all being socked by it.
Yeah.
Every time we turn around, price increases are happening. You know, if it's not the energy, you're not going to the gas pumps, getting screwed there because, hey, the oil companies are gouging the heck out of us because they're not increasing production, even though they could. And they've got leases that are already out there and Biden's giving out, you know, thousands of them. It's this stuff going on. It's the leveraging that's going on because Greg Abbott can. And
well, it's sabotage. It's sabotage. It's the same thing that's happening on the national scene when Obama was elected. What did Mitch McConnell say he was going to do? He was going to make sure that he was a one-term president. He was going to stop everything that Obama tried to do. That's what they're doing. So now the whole point is to create a political crisis and blame it on Biden. And to avoid, frankly, dealing with that he's created. Can I say that?
No.
Dealing with the stuff that he's created. We're a failed state right now. We are a failed state in terms of operating government for the people. And rather than deal with those issues, we're doing stunts like this that, as you point out, are going to raise prices for every single person in this country, and going to, you know, really cause deep hardship on the border. You know, people don't understand the dependence that folks on the border have for commerce. People, you know, before all this craziness, the border was like a little thing. I mean, people shop back and forth, they go back and forth, they get goods back and forth, they go to the doctor back and forth. And now, you know, people are living in severe hardship, and the truckers, you know, those guys were stuck on that bridge for over 24 hours with no food, no water, no place to go to the bathroom, and just stuck there. And so ultimately today, Abbott had to cave and open up the border, but only in one place. And so we're still, in all of the other places in Texas, we're still dealing with this. And unfortunately, y'all are going to pay the price too.
No, I mean, this makes Chris Christie's Bridgegate look like just a mild prank. I mean, to be honest, because this affects the entire country. This isn't just New York.
Yeah. And the other thing that it's, you know, it's each what he's really trying to show is that he is the, you know, he is the right wing border person. And it's so bad, Rick, that he has spent $4 billion. That's with the B dollars on this quote unquote border security, where he has sent National Guard troops down there for over a year. And what the reports are coming out now is that those National Guard folks have nothing to do. Suicides are at an all-time high among National Guard troops. And the one thing that's really interesting is that those National Guard troops are unionizing with the Texas State Employees Union. National Guard troops, Rick, are unionizing with the Texas State Employees Union because of the horrific conditions that they're down there being a political stunt. You know, National Guard folks, they have lives. You know, they're supposed to be called up in times of emergency. These folks are being away from their families, away from their jobs, and sitting down there. The latest report was that they've all been patrolling the ranches of his wealthy campaign contributors. That's all they do to guard against trespassing. And so in the face of that, now we see this thing where we're literally tying up the whole border just so that he can continue to wave the flag and scapegoat immigrants for all the problems that he and his minions are causing.
And the amount of money is just obscene.
$4 billion.
It must be nice that you guys have the best education system, health care, the best roads. Yeah. It must be great to have a perfectly funded state.
Yeah, that we have all this extra cabbage lying around. It's absurd.
Listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're with Rick Levy, president of the Texas AFL-CIO, talking about what's going on down on the southern border. What do you think of Marsha Blackburn's thought to wall off the southern border of Tennessee? Are you in favor of a border between Tennessee and Alabama?
I think connecting the words Marsha Blackburn and thought in the same sentence doesn't really compute in my head. And you know, I mean, it's if it wasn't so sad, it would be silly. It would be funny. I wouldn't dignify that with even. I mean, what are you supposed to? What do you do with that? I mean, how do you even respond to that in a way that makes sense? Yeah. It's absurd.
Now, what we're told is, you know, the news that I've been seeing is that things are just horrible in Texas because, you know, now you're being overrun by migrants coming through. What does the border look like that you're seeing?
Yeah. So the border, it's first of all, those you know, we're not overrun by anybody. But it is true that there's some really horrific conditions down there. Because we still are dealing with the legacy of Donald Trump's Title 42, where we're consigning people who are fleeing persecution to living in squalor and horrible conditions, and that needs to stop. We still are not complying with international law. What we're doing down there also is we're stuffing the jails full of people because Abbott can't enforce immigration laws, but he's got National Guard people down there arresting people all over the border region for trespassing. And that's a state crime, and they're sitting in state jails, and we're paying for all of that at the same time. And a lot of the border communities I was visiting, I was down there, I guess, 2 weeks ago talking to some teachers, and just the level of stress that it's all putting on, you know, public teachers and public servants to deal with all this stuff. It's tough. I mean, it is an area that needs a solution. It doesn't need demagoguing. It doesn't need scapegoating. It doesn't need racism.
And this is the thing that gets me. I mean, all we seem to get out of the right wing is what you said, the kind of demagoguery, the kind of, the kind of solutions that only cause more problems. And you know, they do it so that they can, you know, get headlines. They do it so that they can get further ahead politically. It isn't about actually good governance. It isn't about solving problems. It's about, hey, look at me, and hey, send me campaign contributions more than anything. And that's a problem.
I'm against that. Yeah. And the thing is, there are such interesting and exciting things going on in Texas. We have Beto O'Rourke is running for governor, and Rick, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but he is running on an explicitly pro-union, pro-jobs, pro-climate jobs campaign, explicitly running on pro-public education. And the race is tightening. And I think it's driving Abbott to go more and more, you know, crazy with his folks. We have some really cool organizing going on in unions down here in Texas. Unions are investing in Texas in a way that has never happened before. And we see the results as, like, the Houston airport just adopted a $15 blanket executive order, minimum pay. Same thing's going on in Dallas. They're organizing. Starbucks are organizing. Meatpacking plants are organizing. Nonprofits are people are organizing, you know. And so I think that the thing that lifts my spirits is we talk about how outrageous these Abbott executive orders are is that there really is a counter movement going on that I think is going to continue to grow and grow until we change the state. You know, the farther and the crazier they get, I got to think someday people are going to wake up.
Yeah, I keep saying that. I keep hoping that at least. And
at some point,
you know, I'm predicting 22 is going to be a bloodbath for Democrats, and Republicans are going to go further off the extreme where Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert, they're going to be mild compared to what we're going to end up with. My hope is that, you know, we wake up and go, no, this is a bit too far, and we rubber band back to somewhere near sane. But I don't know that to be the case.
Yeah, I'm not confident in that. I keep saying, and I can't tell you how many times I've said, oh, well, this one is going to do it. I mean, once they see this one, they're all going to come to their senses. And it's not happening. And I think the problem is that, you know, there's no ability to have a conversation because people wind themselves up in these little bubbles where all they hear is constant reinforcement of this craziness. You know, it's not like they even know what's going on. It's not even like they get another side to even think about. I wish I was more confident, but what I am confident in is that the labor movement in Texas is going to be fighting and clawing and scratching.
Yeah, so let's go back to the trucking.
To send the state in a different direction.
Let's go back to the trucking situation right now. Tomorrow, what are they going to continue the...
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. SmileTrain is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Billions of dollars during the freeze when we were out of power for weeks. And in order to make up that margin, he's put a tax on every consumer's electric bill for the next decade to make up for that money. So there's plenty of Abbott taxes running around. This is just another one.
Just another one. Rick, I appreciate
it. One thing, Rick, I want to say, I don't know if you saw, I know that Ted Cruz was really vigorously supporting the truckers' convoy when they were coming to D.C. I've been looking at the news. I haven't seen Ted lining up with the Mexican truckers today. Have you seen that? Have you seen Ted on that
I have
program?
Not.
No. Interesting.
But I have called on the truckers' convoy to make that detour and had to head on down there and support their brothers and sisters and their fellow truckers down there.
There you go. Okay.
That's what they should be doing. Solidarity.
Right.
There you go. Cross border.
Yes, sir.
Rick, I appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Hey, Rick, thank you so much for having me. I apologize for saying the bad thing sometimes, but you know, it's sometimes things need to be said. Anyway, hang in there. Thank you for your voice. Thank you for your work. And let's talk again sometime.
Anytime. Our good friend, Rick Livy, president of the Texas AFL-CIO. Let's take a quick break. Back with your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. Fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in Two segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible two-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to thericksmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at thericksmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
1-866-416-RICK, 1-866-416-7425. If you're just joining us, make sure you check out the podcast at thericksmithshow.com. You know, and it's one of those things. Look, I said from the beginning, you know, these truckers, I stand with them. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we should be standing with the truckers of the trucker convoy and making sure that they have an opportunity to, you know, to be heard, to be seen, to be, to make a living. And, you know, where is Ted Cruz? That is a good question. It really is. That is a good question. Now, interesting that he brought up energy. In a place like Texas, you'd think that they would have an abundance of it. And like he said, you know, they got to make up those profits, got to gouge where they can. Now, I found it interesting that, Joe Manchin. Yes, Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin evidently said to a group that there's this idea of rebranding or rerouting the Keystone XL pipeline. Evidently, he visited Canada recently, and he said the brand of the XL pipeline is probably gone. Can it be rebranded? Can it be rerouted? Can it be these different things? He added that not sure what the Biden administration was going to do. But it made me think that I'm sure whatever Biden wants, this has got to be something that is going to, I'm sure Manchin's going to push for. Now, understand, the Keystone Pipeline is pumping. It's operational. It's pumping crude as we speak. The Keystone XL pipeline, that was going to take the dirty stuff, the tar sands oil, and that was going to move it right through the indigenous lands, right through some water, some really important, through Nebraska and some waterways, and you know, some place that you really don't want it to go, considering that this stuff is like the dirtiest of the dirty, this thick, acidic, nasty, corrosive stuff that, well, we know has a history of eating through pipelines and leaking and causing all kinds of chaos. And what we also know is this was never going to help us because we don't actually have a refinery in this country to refine this nasty stuff. This was going to go right through the middle of our country, right out through Texas and out into the international community. This is never going to help us. So anyone who tells us, you know, if we just had that Keystone XL pipeline, this would solve our problems, they're lying to you. Now, should we be drilling more in this moment? Yeah, we should be increasing production, and I agree with that. But that's not Joe Biden. And this is where all those people, you're not a working class person, you don't know. Yeah, I do know. I know what the energy companies are saying. I've heard their calls. Their calls are like, screw this, we don't need to increase production. We like the prices high. Why? Because it's putting more money in our pocket. Because that's corporate America. Corporate America is happy where prices are. It means they're fattening the bottom lines. Perfect story today. You wonder why food prices are high? You wonder why when you go to the grocery store, prices are really high? Part of it is we just created three new billionaires. James, Austin, and Marianne Cargill are all newly certified billionaires. They're in the new ranks of the top 500 world's richest people. They each now have a new wealth of $5.3 billion, up 20%. Huh, up 20%. That's weird. Their wealth's up 20%. Inflation's been up pretty high, I wonder. Now, Cargill is one of the oldest, you know, founded back in 1865, one of the biggest privately held companies, massive producer of grain and food. You know, numerous people on the billionaire list, worth billions of dollars. And, you know, what's going on? Well, they're getting...
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with the link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year.
At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with the link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article in the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A severe thunderstorm watch continues until midnight tonight. Lows level off around 61 tonight under mainly cloudy skies with a chance for isolated storms. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 82. Lows level off around 55. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 72.
Moderate Republicans. Hello, brilliant strategists. A primary function of the Democratic Party is to offend the corporate powers. Also, there are only about 6 moderate Republicans left in America, so appeasing them is not a big win, especially when it costs you the support of grassroots voters eager for a politics bold enough and big enough to end business-as-usual economics. This is Jim Hightower saying, as our own history teaches, it takes intentional gutsiness to create a politics that matters. Republicans won't do that. Will Democrats?
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So lots of great activity coming out around the General Counsel of the National Labor Relations Board. In fact, you saw a bunch of tweets coming out from our friend, Representative Andy Levin from Michigan, pointing out that, look, you know, the General Counsel is now saying, hey, look, there's a better way to organize, kind of like we used to in the old days. And this is one of these weird moments where the things that she's talking about are the way it used to be. In fact, when I was doing organizing, back in the 90s, I would tell my grandfather about all the things that we were doing, all the obstacles and all the problems and all the, and he's like, what? That's not how we do it. And how older people, and we do it, I do it to my kids. That's not how we did it when I was your age. And you know what? He was right. It was better back then, and which is why I'm glad that she's bringing this back and here to share some thoughts on, Jennifer Abruzzo is doing and what the general counsel at the NLRB is bringing up. And will this stick? Will this help? Will this make a difference? I've asked our good friend, labor lawyer and, labor lawyer superhero, Paul Segunda. Paul, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks, Rick, for having me as always.
So let's start with this, what the general counsel's throwing out here, this idea, this Joy Silk doctrine. We've been talking about it here recently. And as I told you during the break, back in the day, it's not something that I knew about. Kind of understood that back in the old days, it wasn't always like what we were going through, forced to go through elections, forced to go through captive audience meetings, forced to go through employers browbeating employees.
Yeah.
But we're in this moment here all along, maybe possibly could have avoided some of all that. I'm curious your thoughts.
Yeah, well, it's a big moment. It's monumental. A lot of these statements by the General Counsel of the National Labor Relations Board are statements that some of us in the labor law community have been waiting for literally decades. For instance, with captive audience meetings, where you bring in people and you force them to listen to anti-union rants, employees don't want to hear it. Doesn't matter. They had to sit there. They had to listen. And if they didn't want to listen, if they even spoke out, they could be fired. And I and others had argued many, many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, that that's ridiculous. That's coercive. That's in restraint of their Section 7 rights. And they shouldn't be subjected to that. And yet that was the law probably from about 1960 until perhaps today. And what the general counsel has said is, look, that's a reprisal. Forcing people to listen without being able to communicate is not speech. It's not employer speech protected by Section 8C of the National Labor Relations Act. It is coercive, intimidating conduct in violation of Section 8A1. It's an unfair labor practice. We're not going to have it. Similarly, the Joy Silk Doctrine, which is just a fancy, fun name for a doctrine that used to require an employer to show good faith doubt that a union no longer had a majority, or that there wasn't a majority who wanted that union to be in place, that they changed that. So it was much easier for employers to decertify unions. We've seen a lot of that, of course, lately. And the hope is, Rick, that these statements, these initiatives by the current general counsel of the NLRB will put the thumb back on the scale so it's a little more evenly balanced and workers can truly be represented by someone of their own choosing if that's what they want.
Yeah. Now, I go back to the reason I bring up my grandparents, because both of them were big union activists. They were both union members most of virtually all of their working lives. My grandfather actually, you know, in numerous workplaces, you know, worked to get unions into those workplaces. And the stories that he told were not these Herculean leaps of, you know, worrying about is your job going to be on the line? Do you have to go through the kind of captive audience, you know, brow beatings that come along with this? Yeah. And I remember telling him these things, and he couldn't believe it, that, you know, in this country where you have the right to organize. And he kept coming back to this, you know, his generation firmly believed and internalized that they had a right to organize. It was their right, and they fought for that right, and they demanded their rights. And this is one of those moments where I hope, by seeing what she's putting out, and maybe it once again makes us look at the National Labor Relations Act and look at this, you know, for 85 years, the Supreme Court has affirmed that we have the right, a fundamental right to organize. And maybe as workers, we go, yeah, it's our right. And damn it, we're going to fight for it.
Let's hope so. I mean, when the Wagner Act was first passed in 1935, it was very clear that its purpose was to promote collective bargaining by allowing workers to organize into units of their own choosing and to use that collective power to bargain more beneficial terms and conditions of employment. Now, what happened was, starting in 1947 with the Taft-Hartley Act, we had a pushback. We had a movement by conservatives who actually overrode the veto of President Truman at the time and basically said, it's not about promoting collective bargaining, it's really about free choice. And they kind of put all their weight on this idea of free choice, that we don't care what employees do as far as unions, not unions, but we want them to have free choice. Of course, this was a sleight of hand. This was a sleight of language, because what employers were able to do is use language and other types of conduct to threaten, intimidate, and otherwise make it impossible for employees to actually engage in a free and open vote. And as a result, a lot of employees were not actually voting how they felt. There was a famous statistic, Rick, and you might be familiar with it, called the representation gap. It's the yearly gap that we see between how many employees help unions win elections in this country versus how many employees say, like in a Gallup poll or a Pew Research poll, that they're either in favor of unions or they themselves would like to be in a union. And there is a gap. There is a substantial gap between those who say they want to be in a union and those who will actually vote yes in a union, because they're scared, they're intimidated, they're browbeated. So all what's happening in the last week and today is welcome news if we really care about promoting collective bargaining and true free choice, as far as whether workers want to be in a union or not.
No, and to that point, you know, if these captive audience meetings didn't work, if the millions of dollars they spend on these union busters coming in and browbeating your employees didn't work, corporate America wouldn't be spending the money. If the return on investment wasn't there, they wouldn't be spending it. If Amazon wasn't getting what they wanted out of these union busters coming in, they wouldn't be spending $200 million in Bessemer, Alabama, to deny 5,000 workers the right to have a say in that one workplace. They wouldn't be spending that kind of money.
Well, because they know that once workers get that right and that power, others are going to want it too. Look at the Starbucks situation. It started with one. I think we're up to 18 or 19 bargaining units now, including in the home store in Seattle. So what happens is, when workers are actually told the truth, understand what the union brings to them, it equalizes power in the workplace. It's you know, when you say to workers, okay, your employer's Amazon. You are one individual. Do you think that you have any ability to bargain any term or condition of employment with Amazon? And the answer is, of course you don't. It's a take it or leave it situation. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. Well, that's true with one person. But what if there are units that are made up of hundreds or thousands of workers who can truly upset the operations of the company, can disrupt the company until they're treated with dignity and fairness? Well, you change the calculation. Yeah. And that's all we're talking about. We're trying to equalize the field between the so-called industrial combatants here.
You listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're with Paul Segunda, former labor law professor, current labor superhero attorney, one of my favorite guys on the planet. And I say that because I think you're a really good guy.
I think you're one of those people out there fighting the good fight, Paul.
I really do.
We should start a mutual admiration society.
But here's the thing. You said a moment ago, it's about language. And we hear the language of choice